This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
Of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So a Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with 5 and 6-year-olds. And after explaining the commandment to honor your father and your mother, the teacher then asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and our sisters?" And without missing a beat, one little boy answered out loud, "Thou shalt not kill." Ah, yes, the truths of families. Today we encounter Jesus, and the setting is a house. And he's trying to eat some dinner after a very long day. But then our attention is redirected to the crowd that has gathered outside. It's a large and frenzied crowd of Jews and Gentiles, and they are so desperate to get close to this man who has been casting out demons and healing the sick. And then Jesus, his family, gets word, and they get wind of it, and I can sort of imagine the scene, right? Oh, Lord, he's at it again. Except this time now, people are saying he's completely out of his mind. We better go get involved. Jesus' family probably thinking he's gotten carried away with himself, just like Jesus. So they collect themselves, probably finishing their dinner quickly, and they hustle on over to see what all the fuss is about. You see, they want to bring Jesus home, but they don't exactly tell us why. We know that they are afraid that the crowd thinks he is mad, but maybe they were also a little embarrassed of the reputation that Jesus has put on this fine family. Maybe they were scared for him. What are they going to do to our beloved brother and son? Meanwhile, the scribes have come down from Jerusalem, and they are after him. And they accuse Jesus of being in league with Satan. Satan, not so much this image that we have of some animal or dragon-looking thing with horns, but a spirit, Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And they say he must be in with that one. That's why he can control the demons and cast them out. And so Jesus, though, he gets their attention quickly, and he responds with a few short, very images, which essentially they sum up into one thing. Anything that is divided against itself cannot stand. Anything divided against itself cannot stand. But Jesus has even stronger words for those who are gathered around when it comes to the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, I was in a conference with other church leaders, lay and ordained. And there was this particular workshop that I went to. They were called breakout sessions. And it was led by a lay leader, and she was young, and she had a lot of energy, and it was clear that she was passionate about the topic of this particular breakout session. And her presentation was thoughtful and engaging, and the truth is, I don't remember exactly what the workshop was about at all. I sort of remember the conversation, and that it was fun and engaging, and I got to meet other church leaders from around the country. But what I remember is one thing that she said that stands out even today, and I think about it often, and I don't know that I will ever forget it. As we were all settling into our seats and greeting each other, she introduced herself and she gave a quick overview of what she had hoped that we would find in our time together. And then she said, "I only have one rule. No one is allowed to say, 'I don't think it will work,' Or this will not work in our context. She said, let us not limit the Holy Spirit in that way. You don't have the power to limit the Holy Spirit, and neither do I. And if you can agree with me on that one rule, then we'll continue. Let us not limit the Holy Spirit. Is this not exactly what Jesus is trying to tell those who are saying the only way that you can cast out a demon is if you yourself have a demonic spirit? Jesus says, do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Do not tie it down. Who is to say what the Holy Spirit can and cannot accomplish if we just get out of the way? Because every detail of everything we try in the name of what is good and holy, if our hearts are in the right place and we are being truly open to possibilities, every detail can work to God's glory. That there could be more and more grace, more and more people, and more praise. Don't limit the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus gets words that his mother and his brothers are outside and they're sending for him. And on the surface, it might seem that his response is just a little bit harsh. But Jesus here is not being individualistic or anti-family. But he is, however, recognizing that sometimes even well-intentioned loved ones get it wrong. Sometimes we have to be open to those other voices and other ideas. And sometimes it can be family that is the problem. The idea that families are supposed to support one another, not hinder and undermine. And right now, Jesus is saying they aren't quite getting it, and it's distracting from what I'm trying to accomplish here. Because you all that are here, this crowd that has gathered, you all are the ones that are here. And in the end, those who are here to listen to the good news about God, you are my family. You see, our first identity begins as children of God. And that's such a big concept. And I like to use it, but it has taken years for me to ever really understand what it means. But if our identity is first as a child of God, then everyone becomes our brother and our sister. Because we're all in the same thing together. Just as the structure of this church is called a nave for boat, we're all in the same boat together. You see, Jesus looks out at this crowd of misfits. He has his biological family there saying, come on, Jesus, enough of this. They're getting rowdy, they're getting upset. But he looks out at this crowd of misfits and crazies and hopefuls and his, I don't quite get it, disciples. And he says, no, you all are my family. This is my family. And if we truly believe, friends, that every human is a child of God, then that means every human is our brother or sister. So I want to invite you right now to turn to those who are next to you and say it. You are my brother. You are my sister. For some of you, that's actually true, both literally. And it's with this acknowledgement and this identity, and we're going to talk more about identity in the weeks to come. But it's this identity as children of God that Paul writes to his friends in Corinth who have, oh Lord, they've had so many troubles. But Paul says, no, listen, we know the truth. We're not keeping this quiet any longer. Not on your life. This is my translation of what he wrote, along with some help from other people. But we're not giving up now. How could we give up? Even though on the outside it looks like everything is falling apart, on the inside where God is creating new life all the time, there's not a day goes by when we don't get to experience grace. So while times may seem hard and divisions are all around us, Paul says these are small potatoes to what is possible. Small potatoes to what is about to come. Because there's far more than we can see. Far more than meets the eye. And it begins as brothers and sisters. Amen.